Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. Today we're talking about how to handle the issues of life. Anybody have any issues in life? Amen. God bless you that don't. Amen. But I think for the most part, people have issues in life. Hallelujah. You got one issue or another. Amen. Sometimes we don't like to talk about the issues that we have in life, but amen, we have issues in life. Amen. Whether they're this small or whether they're this big. Amen. Somewhere in life, you got an issue. As a matter of fact, the Bible makes a statement in Proverbs, put Proverbs 4:23 on the board. Proverbs 4:23 makes the statement. It says, "Keep your heart." Come on, everybody say, "Keep your heart."
Keep your heart.
Proverbs 4:23. It says, "Keep your heart."
Keep your heart.
For out of it, are the issues of life. And then it tells you to do, keep your heart with what? All diligence. Put that in the Message Bible, if you would. In the Message Bible, it makes a statement. It says, "Keep vigilant, watch over your heart." That's where life starts. It starts with your heart. Put it in the NIV. In the NIV, it makes the statement, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." So we realize that all of our issues basically come out of our heart. And for the most part, you know, sometimes life causes issues, but for the most part, we cause our own issues. Because Jesus made a statement and he says this here. He says that it's not what goes into a man that defiles, but it's what comes out of the man. Because what comes out of a man comes out of his heart. So therefore, we have heart issues and we have issues in our life that we need some attendance to. And today, just in a few moments, we're just going to give you some remedies on how to handle or how to heal those issues that we have in our life. And, you know, our issues can be from relational problems with spouses or family members or brothers or sisters. Our issues can be financial issues, wherein we have more money than we have money. Our issues can be health problems, things that are going wrong in our life, in our body. But there is an answer to all your issues. Now, one thing I was saying this morning, many times I don't really believe in the thing called mistakes. I don't believe we go through life making mistakes. I believe we go through life learning lessons.
Right.
You know, we have several school teachers in here, Betty and Charmaine. Let me ask you something. If you all had a student that you all gave a test to and they failed the test, do you give them opportunity to make that test up? Or, you know, if they keep failing that test, will they see you in the next school year in that same grade? Huh? Y'all do what now?
Retest.
You retest, okay? And if you retest and you fail that test, what you do again? All right, and they come to the end of the year, and they didn't fail that test over and over and over again. What happens? All right, have you ever had a 70? What grade you teach?
All grades,
even to the 12th grade. You must be in sixth grade. Betty, what grade you teach?
Fifth and sixth.
Math and science. You ever had a 17-year-old student in your fifth or sixth grade? One with a beard. Yeah. If If you had a 17-year-old student in your class in the 5th or 6th grade, would that be abnormal? That's not normal. And be shameful, you know. You got a 17-year-old student with a beard, you know, and a mustache and hair all under their arms, you know, and they're sitting in the kindergarten seat. You know, that's shameful. And that's what issues do in our life. Issues cause shame. You know, because it is not normal for a 17-year-old guy to be sitting in a kindergarten class. You know, they walk in, he ought to be ashamed of himself. And how many of us that have issues in our life that we're really ashamed of those issues? Now, whether anybody knew about them or not, you know, if somebody was to find out about them, you're just ashamed of them. Because I shouldn't be at this point in life and be having those kind of issues in my life. It's shameful. Well, how do I get those issues healed? You got to give attention to it. So the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I told a story this morning. I was in Omaha, Nebraska, doing a conference several weeks ago. And this pastor, you know, he says that, first of all, he says, Bishop, you don't have to worry about coming. We're going to treat you like a king. You know, we're first class. Okay. Well, I didn't already check you out. I already know what you are, you know, and I appreciate your first classness. And they were first class. When I get there and we go out to dinner, he says to me, he said, Bishop, you know, he says, I've lost 30 pounds. In 7 years ago. But here's the thing, Mom, he says, and I've kept it off. He says, I've kept it off. And it interests me to find out how he kept it off. So he says, the way I kept it off is that I deal with it in prayer in the morning. Because I had a problem eating the wrong things and eating more, too much of the bad stuff. And he says, so I got a handle on it in prayer in the morning. I took authority over the hamburger. I took authority over the bad eating. I took authority over the issues in my life in prayer. So when I came out of prayer, you know, my wife and I, he and his wife were going to pray every morning. And he says, then we went walking for about 5 or 6 miles. And then we come home and we sit at the table and we read and we drink coffee. He says, so once I come out of prayer and have taken authority over those issues of my life, now I can go forth and do the right things. So he said, instead of the hamburgers, I replace it with something healthier. You know, instead of this, I replace it with, you know, this is healthy. And he says, so the thing is, I've kept it off. You know, so he told me how to deal with the issues of my life. Now, I want to take you to a passage in the Bible. If you go to St. Mark, the 5th chapter, St. Mark, the 5th chapter, beginning at, I think it's verse 20 or 21, 25, isn't it? Verse 25. All right, let's go to Mark 25. And here is a woman. And a woman, whenever you see a woman in the Bible, it's a type of the church, okay? Y'all have heard me say that over the years. Whenever you read about a woman in the Bible, it's a type of the church. Bible says that Elisha, there was a woman that came to Elisha and said, my husband, you know, your servant is dead. And says, the bill collectors have come to take away my sons as bond slaves, servants. Says, now, I need some help. Tell somebody, church always needs some help. This woman needs some help because, what? She had an issue in her life. She had an issue. She had an issue wherein she owed some money, didn't have the money to pay the bill collectors. And if she didn't pay the bill collectors, they were going to take away her children. Now, I know some of y'all want them to take away your children, you know. But this woman didn't want her children taken away. And, you know, she went to the man of God, and the man of God says, what do you have in your house? All right. I want to show you something. She went to the man of God. The set man, the father in ministry. And what do you have in your house? See, the answer was not in his pocket. It was in his mouth. And hear what he said. He says, go and borrow some vessels. And don't borrow a few, because she got a little oil in a house. And he says, go in the house, shut the door, you and your sons, and pour and fill all those vessels that you borrowed. And from that little oil, she filled all those vessels. Then she ran back to the man of God and said, look, I did just what you said. All the vessels are filled. And here's what he says. He says, go sell the oil, pay off your debt, and live off the rest. You see, if you didn't have a real man of God in your life, and he didn't give you the answer out of his mouth rather than out of his pocket, you never would have had an oil business. She was set up in an oil business, and she had enough to pay off all her debt, and she had money to live off the rest of her life. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, it's important to be connected, not only to a local church, but to a real man or woman of God. Because they will get an answer for you from God, and the answer won't be in their pocket, it'll be out of their mouth. God will give you a fresh word, a right now word. Bible says that there was another man of God, and this woman had a son. Well, God spoke to her and says that I want you to sustain this man of God when he come, because it was a time of famine. Man of God comes, and she was gathering some sticks, you know, to build a fire so she can cook her last meal, eat it, her and her son, and die. That's what she told the man of God. She says, I'm gathering these sticks so I can go in and cook this meal so me and my son can eat it and die. She had a death mentality. When she met the man of God, she and her son was ready to die. But out of his mouth came a word from God. Said, go and fix me a cake first, and thus said the Lord. Your meal barrel won't run dry and your cruse of oil won't fail till God send rain on the earth. And the Bible says when she obeyed the man of God, what happened is that her meal barrel was full and her cruise of oil didn't fail. And Jesus, when he come on the scene, he made this statement. He said there was many widows in Israel at that time, but God sent the man of God to that one. And what happens when God sends a man of God or a woman of God into your life, it changes your mentality. It changes your perspective on life. You know, and many of us just need a perspective adjustment, right? Or perception adjustment, you know, in life. We just need to see things from another angle. The Bible says that there was a woman that met Jesus at the well. She met Jesus there, and Jesus said, would you give me something to drink? Her perception was he was a Jew. She said to him, what you doing being a Jew and I'm a Samaritan? We don't have no dealings together. That was her perception. You know, we do not have no dealings together, but they kept talking. And Jesus said, woman, why don't you go get your husband? She says, I don't have none. He says, you've answered correctly. You know, you've had, what, five, and the one you're living with now is not yours. You know what she said? Sir, I perceive you a prophet. You see how perception? All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. That perception adjustment, she kept on talking to him. They start talking about worship and worship in this mountain, then she starts talking about the Messiah. And Jesus says, "You know, I'm who talking to you. I'm the Messiah." And you know what the Bible says? She left her water pots, ran to the city and started decreeing the word. "Look, come see a man that told me all about myself. Is he not the Messiah?" See, it went from he's nothing but a Jew to a prophet. Now he's the Messiah. Many times, all we need is an adjustment in the way we perceive things. So, in this issue here, in St. Mark chapter number 5, verse 25, here we have this woman. It says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years." Now, I don't know how long your issue's been. I heard a story the other day and says that most people that develop issues are, they were actually talking about drug habits. It says that they develop them at a young age. Or if they have sexual behavior habits, they develop them at a younger age, in their teenage, you know, years. I mean, you don't wait till you get 70 years old to start smoking crack. All right. Right? You're going to develop that, you know, at an early age. And the Bible says that this woman, her issue was right now 12 years old. I guarantee you, every one of you in here. Now, some people have issues, don't know they have issues. Just need a perception adjustment. You know, and when people have issues that don't know they have issues, it's because something is wrong with their value system. David made the statement like this here. He says, "I was glad when they said unto me, 'Let's go to the house of the Lord.'" Let me just run this down to you. Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter number 23. Now, this is an issue concerning the house of God, okay? Don't want nobody to get offended. I just want to show you an issue where some people have issues that they don't know they have issues, okay? All right. It says that in Deuteronomy 23, there's a certain segment of people that cannot, everybody say cannot, go to church. Now, notice, I didn't say will not go to church. I said they cannot go to church. All right. One segment was those who had a flat nose, those who were dwarf, those that had their stones crushed. I was talking about men. And a bastard. Now, many people don't understand what a bastard is. Matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews, it makes the statement. It says that any son that cannot receive correction, he's likened unto a bastard child. A bastard, in biblical terminology, is somebody who don't have a father. It's a test tube baby. It's somebody who can't identify where they came from. So he says that a bastard was one that was couldn't go to church, or listen to this here, one that was born out of wedlock. God help us today. Thank God. Everybody shout, thank God for grace. And I know we don't like, you know, that terminology. We don't like to be called that, but that in biblical terminology, that's what it was, because, you know, when you have a marriage, it is called a wedding. Now, with a wedding, there is what's called rings. Okay. When you search into the meaning of wedding, the man gives the woman, and the woman gives the man what's called a wedding band. It's something that bands them together. It surrounds them. It encircles them. And it's never to be broken. It's never to be broken. You know, you don't have that ring where you could pull it apart and do this. No, it's a continuous circle, and it's never to be broken. You know that. So in the confines of that wedding or that marriage, that's where children are to be produced. I don't mean to talk about wedding and marriage, but I'm just wanting to show you why it's called a bastard child. That a child that is born outside of that band, outside of that banding, because this is what a husband does. A husband bands, that woman. He surrounds that woman, and he creates a band, protection, provision, teaching, and all those things that a man does. Now, when a child is born outside of that, the scripture, in biblical terms, it considered them as a bastard child, meaning that a test tube baby, you don't have a real daddy that bands you. Because you were not born in the confines of the wedding or the banding or the marriage. All right. So those people were not allowed in church for 10 generations. Everybody say for 10 generations.
10 generations.
Did you not know that Boaz, he was part of a bastard generation? Salmon was part of a bastard generation. Jesse, who was the daddy of David, was part of a bastard generation. Because Judah, who David came through the tribe of, he had sex with his daughter-in-law and had twins. And for 10 generations, they were banned from the house of God. But when it came down to David, David was the 10th generation. And David said, I was glad when they said unto me, I can go to church again. That's why David wrote so much about going to the house of God. Have you ever read Psalms 23? He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. For his name's sake, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And what did David say? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David was glad to go to church, because this is why, Samuel, he was sent down to Jesse's house. Have y'all ever read the story? Meaning Jesse couldn't go to church, so God sent the prophet to Samuel's house. Why? Because Jesse and them were banned from the house of God. They had one more generation to go. Huh? Psalms 27, David says that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came against me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing. High five your neighbor and say, one thing.
One thing.
have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. What did he seek after? That I might dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Psalms 91 makes the statement, they that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. David says, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to church. He says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. See, David had an issue in his lineage. He had an issue, you know, in generations. But then he dealt with that issue. When David conquered Mount Zion, let me show you how he dealt with that issue. If you're going to deal with issues, you got to take action. And here's how he dealt with that issue. The Bible says, when you search history, it says that when he built his house in Mount Zion, he built his palace there. You know, the place where he ruled, his throne. But then he established the tabernacle there also. There was three things he put, you know, in Mount Zion. He put his house, he put his place of work, and he put the house of God there. He put his house, he put the place where he worked, and he put the house of God there. He made sure that the house of God was always near his house so he can go to church. He took action. It cost him something. And he kept the house of God next to his house. So, in this story, it says there was a certain woman. She had a disease. And it was for 12 years. I don't know how long your issue been going on. You know, but hers was for 12 years. And it was a blood issue. It was a life issue. The life of all flesh is where? In the blood. So it says in verse 26, it says, and she suffered many things. What did she suffer many things from? From the issue. Huh? You've suffered things, and you that are viewing me, you've suffered things from the issue in your life. She suffered many things. Then it says, and she spent all that she had. And it says, and was nothing was better. And it says, but things grew worse. Here's what I told the church this morning. I said, we learn lessons in life. You know, there's no mistakes. There's just lessons. And if you don't learn the lesson, then you got to take it over. And when you take it over, what happens? Watch how true this is. It gets more painful. It's more painful. The guy that told me he conquered the hamburger in prayer, he says, I'm free now. He says, because what the hamburger, and the hamburger was his problem, you know. And he says, I ate them all the time. That's what he told me. He says, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't walk right. You know, I could never go walk 5 and 6 miles in the morning with my wife. He says, I was out of breath. And he says, now, if I would have continued in the actions that I was doing, he says, life would have got more painful. Yeah. It would have went from 30 pounds to 40 pounds. And from 40 pounds... All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast. And we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. You know, Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son. And he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forth. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God. And in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread. It's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is give bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. 50 pounds. You know, things would have got worse. He says, but this is how I know I learned the lesson. Don't y'all ever forget this here. You know that you learned the lesson when your actions change. Come on, tell your neighbor, give them a lesson. Say, you know you learned the lesson when your actions change. You know, I heard somebody say this here. It is insanity to think that you can keep doing the same thing and expect different results. If you want a different result, you know, tomorrow, you got to do something different today. You can't do the same thing today and expect something different tomorrow. So we'll know that we learned a lesson when our actions change. So this woman suffered many things, spent all she had. Nothing got better. Everything got worse. What is she going to do? Everybody say, she's going to take some action. Because for 12 years, you know, she sat at home. 12 years, you know, she went to doctors. But she didn't go to the right one. But now she's going to take action and do the right thing. And watch what she do. Bible says that. And when she heard of Jesus. Isn't that most of the time how it happened? Is that we come to Jesus broke. Yeah. We done spent everything on everywhere else. You know, we done tried this and tried that. And then finally when we get to church or get to the Lord, you know, we broke, busted, and disgusted. I'm glad it's free. I'm glad salvation free, Elder. I'm glad he paid the cost already. So it says when she heard of him, you know, it says she came in the press behind. Meaning she just didn't walk up to him. It was a press to get to him. If you're gonna deal with the issues in your life, it's gonna be a press. You know, because the flesh don't want those issues to go. I was telling the church this morning, I said, man, yesterday evening, I told the Lord, I went to the refrigerator, you know, and I said, Lord, I want to eat bad. I want to eat bad. Now, not that I want something to eat bad. I want to eat some bad stuff. I'm tired of eating all this good stuff and these salads and the beans and the rice. I want to eat some bad stuff. I want some cheesecake and some I want some carrot cake and I want some pork chop and some I want some ham. I want some bad stuff. But you know, if I were to do that, it'd throw all your levels off. Come on, your blood pressure start rising, your head start hurting, you know, you get out of breath, you know, easy. And I said, I went on to the refrigerator. I said, Lord, you heard my request, but I got me some cherries and got me some fruit and went and sat down, ate them and went to sleep. You know, woke up this morning and said, Lord, thank you. I had the victory. You see, what happens? What happens? The thing is, you know, there's a press. Man, the Bible says that our flesh and our spirit, they're wrestling. And many times we give in too soon. And when we give in, we're still stuck with that issue in life. The Bible says that she got in behind. And she pressed. She actually pressed her way. You know, she had to make an effort. There had to be an effort. There had to be, you know, some discipline. There had to be some discipline in this. And it says, and she pressed, came in and pressed behind, and she touched what? Actually, the hem of his garment. She didn't just touch his garment. She touched the hem of his garment. Now, let me, I taught the first class this here. Put St. Matthew 14, verse 35 on the screen. St. Matthew 14, verse 35, it starts off, it says this here. It says, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, talking about Jesus, when they had knowledge of Jesus, it says, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that had issues. If you're diseased, you got issue, right?
Amen.
A disease is something that dis-ease, you know, causes uneasiness in your life. You got issue. So they brought unto him all that were, that had issues. Now look at verse 36. It says, and besought him that they might only touch, not his clothes, but touch the. Now, if I'm going to touch George's hem or Elaine's hem or Lowe's hem, where do I have to get to touch the hem? I got to get low. So you got to know that this woman that pressed in behind Jesus, you know, she wasn't standing up in the crowd. You know, she was low. She had got down because she wanted to touch the hem. And look what happens in verse 36 when they touch the hem. It says that that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made. See, they just weren't made whole. They were made perfectly whole. Now, put Psalms 130. No, go back to Matthew 5 the next verse we was in. I want to show you what happens here. For the Bible says, in Mark 5. Hear what it says. Where are we at? In verse 22, 23, 24. All right. It says, go to 27. Go to 27, 28, 29. All right. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up when she touched the hem of his garment. All right. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. See, the thing is, when you position yourself rightly, and you get healed, ain't nobody got to tell you that you heal.
Amen.
You'll know you heal before anybody else know.
Amen.
You'll know that there's a difference in you before anybody else know there's a difference in you. You don't have to ask anybody how I look, what you think about me now. You know, you'll know it before anybody else. And then look what it says. It says in verse 30, it says, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" In other words, Jesus could have asked, "Who touched me in the right place?"
Right.
Now, why would he ask, "Who touched me in the right place?" Because of his next statement. Next verse. Hear what it said. "And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and you say, who touched me?'" See, everybody's touching him, but they ain't touching him in the right place. Everybody's not positioned. Everybody, you know, it's like being roped off and they're reaching over, just want to touch him. You know, and they just want to say, "I touched him." But she didn't touch him where everybody else was touching him. She touched him in the right place, which was in the hem of his garment. Now, let me tell you why that's so important. Okay? For the Bible says that Jesus felt virtue go out of him. Psalms 133. We'll talk about this here, and then we're going to pray for our children, and then we're going to go party, all right?
Amen.
All right. Psalms 133, verse 1. Only has three verses in that psalm. And here was it. He says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Well, how good and how pleasant. He's going to make a comparison. Verse 2 says, "It is like the precious ointment upon the head that did what?
Ran down
upon the beard." Now, let's stop at beard. I told you earlier that beard, a beard don't grow on a 5-year-old or 10-year-old boy. Okay? A beard grows on somebody who's mature. All right. So when the oil run down, it run down on maturity. You know, the oil is applied to maturity. It says it ran down upon the beard, Aaron's beard, that went down to the. When it talks about skirts, it went down to the hem of his garment. Now, let me tell you why that's so important. When God told Moses to have them make garments for Aaron, in the garments that they made for Aaron was gold. There was gold. Now, when oil hit the garments, that gold acted as a pipeline. That when the oil hit it, it took that oil, all the way down, through the shoulders, down through the breastplate. It touched the skirts, or his loins, went down his thighs. The gold's still going. And most of the oil wind up in the hem. It settled in the hem. That's where the gold took it, Now, look how it compares it to the next verse in verse 3. In verse 3 it says, making another comparison to the oil running down, it says, "As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion," and Hermon was the mountains of Zion. It says, "For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." This is how important it is. Mount Hermon is the highest mountain in Palestine. It sits about 9,235 feet above sea level. You can actually see Mount Hermon from actually the Dead Sea, which is about 120 miles away. You can see the snow-capped mountains of Mount Hermon. But on Mount Hermon was where the dew settled. It's where the dew came down. Now, but at the foot of Mount Hermon, about 1,000 feet above sea level, was where the Jordan River began. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, "May the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed." And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, on CD or DVD. Well, you can make your vehicle a driving or a rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God, and in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread, it's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is get bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. Hello, Radio Land. This is Bishop J.J. Reed coming to you live from the Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries in Bay St. Louis and Picayune, Mississippi. One church in two locations. And we're so glad that you've tuned in today to hear the word of the Lord. You know, as Jesus was attacked by the devil in St. Matthew chapter number 4, he made the statement, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord." That tells us that we don't live by our natural food by itself, but we live by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. In Jeremiah chapter number 3, God also speaks and says, "I'm going to take one out of a city and two out of a family, and I'm going to lead them to Zion," that is the church, "and I'm going to give them pastors according to my own heart that's going to feed them with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding." So today, I'm so glad again that you've tuned in, and we're going to take you into the word of the Lord, and we're going to feed you as the heritage of the Lord, that you might grow up, grow out, and that your branches might extend over the walls. Okay. The Jordan River was fed by the dew that melted off of the Mount Hermon. Jordan River runs about 156 miles, but right in the middle of its running, it pours into or runs right through the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is about 8 miles wide, 14 miles long, about 1,300 feet deep at its deepest point. You know, and we heard a lot of things about the Sea of Galilee. But from the dew, you know, it fills the Sea of Galilee. And it keeps running, you know, all the way down to the Dead Sea. And at the mouth, Jordan pours into the Dead Sea. It pours about 600 million gallons of water, you know, in any 24-hour period. Meaning there is a gushing, you know, at the end of the mouth of the Jordan into the Dead Sea from the dew. My God. There is all this water that comes out at the end of it. Now, why did I say that there? Because, you know, from Mount Hermon, you know, and the beginning of the Jordan, you know, to the end of the Jordan, there's more water that's coming out and gushing out. There's a flow that's coming out from just the dew.
Glory.
The dew starts it, but at the end of it, there's a gushing out. So what did this woman understand, and what did these people around about the region understand? You know, it's not the dew that I need on my head. I got to get down. If I'm going to handle the issues in my life, I got to get down to where the gushing is. And most of the anointing is not in the head, but it's in the hem. Most of the anointing, you know, when it's just poured on the head, you know, the thing is, it don't run on the head, it run down. And when it run down, it settles in the hem. So she said, you know, "I know people are throning him and just trying to touch him, but I need to get to where the anointing is. And the anointing is in the hem. And if I can just touch." Now notice what you got to do. You got to position yourself. See, many people, and you got to watch this in the body of Christ, many people raise up because they feel like they're equal to you. And when they raise up, the thing is, they miss. The Bible says in Peter, it says, "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, And in due season, what you're going to be? You're going to be exalted. God resists the proud, but he gives more grace to the humble. So the best place to be, listen, I can get everything that I want from God if I'm positioned rightly. And I want you to know, I might be an apostle, but I'm positioned under the apostle. I'm there at the hem. You know, the thing is, I might receive tithe, but I pay tithe. Y'all ain't talking to me. So the thing is, you can't explain the blessings of the Lord on my life because I'm at the hem and I'm where the flow is, because the anointing don't flow up. The anointing flows down. So I need to get to where it has settled, and it is settled in the hem. Somebody shout hallelujah today. Yeah. You know what I need everybody to do, just to illustrate? I need everybody just to get down, just to position yourself down, right by your seat. Just get down and kneel and say, Lord, I just need to touch the hem of your garment. Amen. That's how we're going to get God's best, by God positioning us, amen, at the hem, by God positioning us down low. Amen. We don't have to worry about rising up. Amen. The anointing is going to do everything that it needs to do, amen, if we get in the proper position. And Father, we just want to be in the proper position today. That's how we're going to get healed from our issues. If we can just touch you in the proper position, Lord, we'll be healed from the issues in our life. Heal us right now as we position ourselves. Heal us right now as we are in complete obedience. Heal us right now as we bow our knees and touch the hem of your garment. Make us perfectly whole. Make us perfectly healthy. Make us perfectly financially secure. Make us perfectly anointed right now. Dry up everything that's trying to sap life out of our life. We just don't want to be a hearer of your word. We want to be a doer of your word. Anything that have come into our life that stops us from positioning ourselves, Father, I ask today that you help us get the handle on that and take the authority over that so I can properly position myself in the right position to get the best that you have for me. Father, I'm thanking you right now that I'm a doer of your word and not a hearer only. I'm a doer of what you call me to be and not a hearer only. Lord, thank you, oh God, for the anointing that breaks every yoke in my life. Somebody shout in Jesus' name. Come on, you can rise up and give him a praise. Rise up and give him a praise right now. I am onosha. Yemanadabosaya. Lord, I thank you. 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 Physical issues are being addressed. Emotional issues are being healed. Spiritual issues are being corrected. Because I'm touching the hem of your garment. Thank you for the anointing that settles in the hem. Hallelujah. My life, never going to be the same again. My life, never going to be the same again. Because I've touched the hem of your garment, Lord. The Lord teaches us a lesson here. Even Jesus himself taught us this here. Because sometimes peers, they can inspire you to rise up, get out of position, get out of place, Sometimes our own intellect and our own egos would encourage us to get out of position, to get out of place. And we miss the real flow and we settle just for the do. The Bible says that Jesus tells his disciples on that night that he was betrayed. He tells them to go to get this particular room. And then as they were sitting at meat, oh God, Bible says that Jesus watched them, and it was their custom that the good man of the house was to wash feet of all the visitors that were coming to the house. And he watched them all. He watched Peter. He watched Matthew. He watched Thomas. He watched James. And none of them ever made a move to get the basin and to take the towel. So Jesus, being the master, he removed himself from the table. He wrapped himself in the towel. And he started washing feet. What did Jesus teach us? He taught us to get low. He taught us that's where the anointing is. To position ourselves at the hem. And Peter rises up and he makes the statement. He says, Lord, you have never washed my feet. Because to him, it was out of character that the master would get low at the hem and wash feet. And Jesus makes the statement to Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have no part in me. Peter says, not only my feet, but every part. And Jesus says, don't nothing need to be washed but the feet. What I'm saying, Jesus taking the towel, he got down to the hem. He positioned himself. And he makes the statement, let the one that is greatest among you be the servant. If you can get where the hem is, you will experience the fullness of the anointing. And it will change some issues in your life. Father, as we stand today, certainly you have opened up just a door of knowledge that we know how to handle our issues. If we can get low, there's enough anointing to deal with any issue in your hem, Lord. I don't care if it's poverty. There's an anointing to break the poverty spirit. I don't care if it's relationship. There's enough anointing to heal every relationship. I don't care if it's physical. We read in your word that when there's a life issue and blood is leaking out of our life, life is leaking out of our life. If we can just get low enough to touch the hem, the anointing can make us every whit whole. No matter what disease is trying to stalk our body, no matter what we're wavering under, Lord, the heavy load of high blood pressure, the heavy load of diabetes, the heavy load. All right, Radio Land, we thank you for tuning into this radio broadcast, and we trust that your soul has been blessed by the word of the Lord. Jacob in Genesis 27, verse 27, was blessing his son, and he said that, may the smell of my son be as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. And we hope today that through the word of the Lord, that you are going to be as a smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. That means that you're flowering. That means means that you're producing. That means that you're going forward. That means that you're influencing and affecting your environment. I also want you to write in, you know, to us at Powerhouse of Deliverance Ministries. Our address is 1978 Washington Street, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, or at 800 South Beach Street in Picayune, Mississippi. We also want to give you opportunity to purchase the rest of this sermon, you know, on CD or DVD. You know, you can make your vehicle driving or rolling university, you know, by popping in that CD and finishing up the messages of the Lord. Because again, the word of the Lord says that you're not going to live by bread alone, but you're going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So you can order these CDs, you can order these DVDs, so you can always have a spoken word. You can always have a rhema word ready. Because, you know, I'm recalling a story in the Old Testament that David was running from Saul, and he ran to the house of God, and in running to the house of God, he asked the priest, he said, "What's that under your arm?" And the priest said, "This is bread, it's holy bread." David said, "I have some of that." Then the next thing David asked, "Do you have any weapons here?" And the priest tells him, "Nothing but the sword of Goliath, who you killed in the valley of Elah." Well, David said, "I would have that sword also." So that tells us the reason we, amen, receive a rhema word and go to the house of the Lord is give bread to eat and a weapon to fight with. So God bless you today, and we trust that you've got bread to eat and a weapon to fight with.